Hi there. Welcome to On Work with Joel G. I'm Joel G. And this is a podcast about work. Each episode, I talk with someone about how they do work, how they feel about it, and how it relates to the rest of their life. Today, I'm talking with Todd Grebe. Todd is a musician. Todd Grebe, welcome to On Work.
Oh, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. Todd, I'm a Californian, and I used to say I'm a third-generation Californian, which I guess is still true. But I moved here in 2014, and I did not grow up with cold like this, and it's been very cold outside. And if anyone had ever told me that I'd like be going to work in -5 or like going for a bike ride at like 0 degrees, I would have thought it'd be very unlikely. So how do you do with the cold?
I love it. I grew up in Anchorage, and so I'm pretty used to it. And there are times when it annoys me or whatever, but my motto about that is that you can always, you can't dress down enough for the heat, at least in my opinion, down in the States, but you can always dress up for it here. But I'm very warm blooded. So when I live in the States a couple of times, and it's not agreeable for me.
So. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some I go biking, and like when I go like a fat biking, I have like the pogies on my handlebars, and I'll be wearing like mittens inside. And then if it's gonna be like any distance ride, I'll have like the little chemical hand warmers going too. And I've like stopped and talked to people on the trail, and they'll just be like in gloves, and I'm always a little jealous of the people who can handle the cold. So, hey Todd, if you meet someone for the first time and they ask what you do for work, what do you tell them?
I generally just say that I'm a musician. I mean, I've done that the vast majority of my life, either performing or instructing music. Yeah. And so that is really like what I'm most qualified to do. But I've done a million different kind of odd jobs.
Yeah.
And I like doing all that other kind of stuff as well. But I wouldn't say like, oh, I'm a carpenter or I lay tile or whatever, because there's people that are like really good at those things. And that's their wheelhouse. But I just kind of dabble in it when the opportunity presents.
Yeah. Is musician your identity or part of your identity?
I would say it's a large part of my identity. Yeah. I mean, if I was going to be real specific about it, I would say that I'm a performer, probably. That's probably the thing that I do the best. And then songwriter, you know, I'm getting ready to put out my fifth full-length album, is all original material. And that's the thing that makes me feel the best in terms of being like, my identity is like, I'm a songwriter, you know, but I love performing as well.
Yeah. Have you performed anything other than music?
I have been in plays. And that's about it. I did some of that in high school. And then a couple of years ago, I was in a local play production here in Anchorage, and it was like, it was crazy. Like my old high school teacher called me up and was like, hey, I have a part for you and you should come down and do this play. It would be perfect. And it was like a 30-day run. And I hadn't done that in a long time, and it was really fun. But yeah, mostly just music.
Yeah. Was there music in the house when you were growing up?
Not really. Nobody in my family plays, actually. I'm a little bit of an anomaly in that regard, but there was a lot of listening.
Yeah.
You know, and I always loved music. And
what were they listening to?
Oh, my parents listened mostly to a lot of like, at that time, it was like 90s pop country, and I really hated it. I was not into that at all at the time, which is a little ironic because I play bluegrass and country music now. But I still don't, and there are some of that stuff now that I look back and think, oh, you know, this is actually pretty good, and I still like it. But I don't know. I was a little bit of an odd duck in that way. I mean, I had an older brother that listened to a lot of like 90s kind of pop rock music, and I didn't really like that much either. So I don't know. I just kind of found my own way in the musical world.
Did songwriting come first for you?
No, not really. Although I really wanted to do that right away, and I was trying to do it, but like as soon as I started playing when I was like 15 or so.
Okay.
And I wanted to write songs, but I didn't have like any of the I had none of the requisite skills to do that. I think, like a lot of things, if you kind of want to like work outside the lines, you have to know the lines first. So I had to learn, a lot of music before I could really actually execute songwriting.
How did you, so was a guitar your, is that your instrument, your first instrument?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I just got into guitar right pretty
Like you
much
went,
right away.
how did you get a guitar and how did you learn to play it? I'm curious on like how people start things. You know what I mean? Like, I think it takes like a certain motivation or internal drive. And like when things are hard, like starting things is difficult is something that I'm interested in. So I'm curious like how you
Sure.
come to like get a guitar and how you start playing. And of course, when you start, I think you're not that good and it takes a little bit of drive and, you know, determination.
I'll tell you the truth. The origin story of that was that my older brother, who's like 4 or 5 years older than me, depending on the time of the year, he was in guitar class and he was trying to learn how to play guitar, and he was having exactly what you're describing, a lot of trouble with it. He was like, "This is very difficult. I can't get anywhere with it." And I was like, "Oh, let me try it out." And basically, he was real dismissive, and it was just like, "Well, you'll never do it. Like, you can't. It's way too hard." And of course,
Yeah,
like,
older brother, right?
yeah. And
Yeah.
honestly, that level of spite, I think, kind of
Oh.
like spurred me and made me really want to try it. And then simultaneously, I had, a handful of really close friends that were doing that and like doing pretty well, and they were socializing with it. And so I just wanted to be a part of that. And so that gave me a lot of inspiration to really practice. And you're correct, it is very difficult, especially starting out. That was like my initial motivation. And then I found out right away that it was a great like cathartic release. If you're, a young teenager, all the typical teenage problems, even if you're not very good, there's an immediate kind of emotional response that you get from even just playing a couple of chords that I was really receptive to. And so that really just put me on the path. But I really, like in high school, I was just kind of banging around, just trying to like get a handle on it. It wasn't.
It's kind of like part angst or like showing your brother off and a little bit like you want the social connection. And then like you had like a emotional or visceral response, like when you could play a chord that sounded good. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. That's a pretty awesome little recipe or combination of things that kind of come together. It's like without your brother, like it wouldn't necessarily have, you wouldn't have had all of the motivation parts potentially.
I definitely think initially I was like, "Well, I'll show him." And then, these guys were starting to get together and play, and that they were doing that every Friday and Saturday night. We were hanging out anyways, and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, I have to keep working on this." And then you start doing it, and it becomes kind of like this positive cycle, where you're like, "Oh, I'm making progress, and I want to keep working on this." And then you get driven to put in the effort, and music is just like everything else. I think I thought that it was like this kind of magic thing that like only people that played music could play music, and so it never really occurred to me. And then you figure out that it's really just a lot of work, like anything else.
That's
You want
right.
to get good at something, you have to practice,
Yeah, I did some in the Bay Area in San Francisco, I did some DJ. I was in like the rave scene, and that's kind of like what where I got my social development is in the rave scene, and like everybody was a DJ, and DJ for me was like magical, you know, like beat matching. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. And then I eventually took it up, and I don't remember what drove me to it. I feel like there was some difficult times, but I was in a position to like learn to DJ, and then it kind of removed some of the magic of it. You know, it's just like, oh,
Yeah.
it's just hard work. But
Yeah.
we need to get very good.
Well, no, I mean, and I definitely think that, like, because I taught for a long time, I think that there are people that are musically inclined. Like, there's no doubt about that. But I do think if you look at like all the best players, the easy thing to say is that they're the ones that work the hardest. And so I don't know. So I don't get too caught up in that, especially with my students. It's just like, hey, if you want this, like you can figure it out, you know.
Were you a good student in high school?
I was not a particularly good student. I think kind of like in college as well, like I excelled at subjects that I was interested in. I always had a problem with jumping through hoops. And I could do it, but I lacked like the compelling motivation to do it. And so if I thought that I could, get away with it, I mean, in college I would read the syllabus and be like, what do I, it was a class I wasn't interested in. It was like, what do I have to do to pass this class? And the other thing I would be like, I may or may not do this.
Did you have jobs in college or in your, I don't know, post high school years or in high school? Did you have jobs?
Yeah, for sure. Like a lot of kids, I guess, I just grew up doing chores around the house. My parents were all hard workers, and they were, like real fastidious about things like keeping the house clean and the yard in check. I had two brothers, so us three boys, like they were always putting us to work. And then, basically, probably, I mean, I had a couple like, I mean, honestly, I think the first work I was really doing for money, I was probably like 10, and it was me and my older brother like hustling around the neighborhood, shoveling driveways or mowing lawn,
That's right.
stuff like that. And then I think the first job I had was working at my mom's friend had an antique store. That didn't last very long because I was like clumsy. She wanted me to clean things and I kept dropping them. But then, yeah, I started working in landscaping when I was about 14, and just doing late, manual labor. So I did all that through high school, and yeah, and same thing in college. I always worked,
How was that? How was that work for you? Because like when I was in high school and stuff, like I was never motivated to have a job, and like I often would say to my dad, "I'll get a job, I'll get a job," and I just never would. But then eventually, like he got me a job here or there. But I just like, I mean, I don't want to use the words like weak and soft, but that's what I thought of myself or think of that person who just wouldn't go to work, and I still like have this like. Not super interested in like just working for work's sake. And I'm wondering how it was like how it was for you when you had to go to work or when you were working like landscaping in those early years.
Well, for me, I think I was excited to have the autonomy, to get out of the house and then to make money. And of course, because I grew up doing, a lot of those kind of chores, it didn't really seem like any big deal to me. But, and I'll clarify that there was only like maybe a year or two, and they were probably broken up, where I was working like during the school year. This was all summer, like seasonal. So that's a little bit of a difference. I wasn't like getting off of or out of class, in high school and going to work somewhere.
When did you think, or when did you know, or when did you start trying to work towards a life or a career in music?
It was in college, like I was taking lessons, and I had an idea in my mind that, I would start playing. And it was around 2021. I mean, I was doing like open mics and stuff, but around 21, I formed my first band and was like, I want to play gigs, and make money doing this. I didn't really have a lot of aspirations other than to be in a band and just to play. And then, I don't know, towards the end of college, I was like basically making a living doing it. My overhead was not very much, but my cost of living was nothing. But I was doing that, and then I started teaching, and that really was a game changer because you can make more money teaching in Alaska than you can performing for the
Sure,
most.
sure. You're teaching people, kids to play guitar?
Yeah, actually, I just started, like I met my future wife around that time. And she was in this band. That was a big part of their business model, was that they were touring all around the country, and they would go to towns and teach a camp for kids for like a week, and then they would play a concert. And so, yeah, it was a way to like ingratiate yourself to the community and make some fans and then and make extra money. You know, they probably made more money off the camp than they did the performance. And so she used to ask me to help, you know, come in when we were dating, you know, come and help out with these camps, mostly in Alaska at that time. So we go to Homer or Seward or Fairbanks or Talkeetna or whatever, and help them teach camps. And so that kind of like got me into teaching. I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. And then starting to teach privately, you know, so camps and just like one-on-one lessons.
How is the business side of it for you being a working musician?
Well, it's changed a little bit. Like, so when my, you know, long story short, we ended up moving to Nashville, and we were in this full-time band for a few years, and then the band exploded, and typical story. And then we got married and we got pregnant, and when we moved back to Alaska about 10 years ago, we decided that we're most qualified to just teach and play. And so we were hitting that really hard for, I don't know, 7 years, and just teaching out of our own studio and just taking every gig that could come down the pike. And you know, you could make a living. It wasn't a great living. But then what happens is when your kids start going into elementary school, it was perfect when they were real little because we could switch off. And we didn't have to put them in daycare. So you would teach and I would teach, and then we would play on the weekends or whatever. But then it was like, all right, well, when you teach privately, you would be teaching, you know, essentially from 3 to 7 in the evening. And that's when you would hang out with your kids. So we made a conscious decision to try to steer away from that. So she went back to school and got a degree, or a master's degree in education. And so she teaches for the school district now here. And around the same time, I was like, all right, I'll start doing this other stuff that I know how to do, you know, getting back into, you know, into outside, you know, labor work or whatever. So our music plan or business plan has changed in the sense that we just don't have to rely on it as much as we used to, which is kind of nice because
Is
at
it
some,
freeing a little bit?
yeah, because honestly, like there's a huge difference between like touring around the country and playing like, you know, great gigs and making a living doing that, and then going back to your hometown and taking every gig that comes down the pike. It ends up becoming more like their work, and so it can kind of steal the soul out of it a little bit.
Yeah, it maybe the glow or the shine maybe wears off a little bit.
Yeah, and so I was already kind of in a place like right before the pandemic where I was like, I want to not have to rely on this so much, so it doesn't feel like I'm just going through the paces. I was probably one of the few musicians when the pandemic hit that was like, thank God.
That is funny.
You know, because a lot of my musician friends were like, oh, this sucks. Like, how are we gonna carry on or whatever? But yeah, it just kind of forced me to like to do things a little bit differently. So right now, yeah, I just think it's nice to not have to, it's nice to be a little more selective about gigs, you know.
Right on. Well, cool, Todd. We're going to take a quick break here.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Todd. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Procrastination Plus is a proud sponsor of On Work with Joel G. Procrastination Plus and Procrastination Plus Premium Pro bring a modern approach to procrastination. No longer is procrastination a deep, dark secret that brings shame, misery, and stress. Now we embrace our broken workflows and present them as functional. Project due next week? Should have started last week? No problem. With Procrastination Plus, just sit back, relax, and let the app do its thing. Procrastination Plus will update your feeds, sharing pictures of you scrolling TikTok, YouTube, or Facebook, depending on your generational alignment. Procrastination Plus sends you inspirational messages such as, "Why do today what you can do tomorrow?" and "Go get a snack, don't risk being hungry," and "Nobody cares anyhow." With Procrastination Plus Premium Pro, you also get a cross-stitched pillow with the phrase, "I'd rather not." 100% of Procrastination Plus users report nothing. The Procrastination Plus app is available anywhere you find procrastination apps. We're back. If you've totally spaced out and forgotten what you're listening to, this is On Work with Joel G. I'm Joel G, and my guest today is Todd Grebe. Todd is a musician and a member of Todd Grebe and Cold Country. Thanks again for being here, Todd.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a really good balance of like work right now, or you're kind of in a sweet spot between like music work and non-music work. Is that how you feel about it?
You know, I think that, yeah, currently I do. I have been feeling like that since last summer. And I think there's like just a little bit of like acceptance going on there. For a little bit, I was a little bit like, why do I have to do this other crap? But it's like, well, that's what happens when you decide to move back to Alaska and you have a larger bottom line that you have to meet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was a little resentful about it, but like the truth is that I've always tried to do a little bit of that kind of work along with my music, because I mean, like your commercial there is like really apropos. Because I can definitely be a procrastinator, and the work, like I just decided, and I think it's true, that like the regular work, it informs, you know, my music stuff too, because like if I just have to sit around and just dedicate myself only to music, like I can get burned out on it. And I like being outside and I like doing things with my body, and it puts me in a better mood, you know. And and so I do think that the balance of that is good. You know, it's a little tricky just getting over the ego aspect of it.
Like a bit of identity, a little bit, like being a landscaper or working like a labor, or what might like a blue collar or a menial job might have, take a little, you know, live in a world that thinks that is less than like an office job for some reason.
And it's funny, like, you know, because I work with a really good crew of guys, and like I think they're all real smart, and like they're very affable, and I think people have the opinion that like people that do that are kind of work or like meatheads or not very smart, but I think that we are a little bit of an island of misfits in a way, but like that's kind of my favorite thing. And also the company is very flexible and reasonable with me. You know, they let, like, if I need to play a gig, they let me do it. So really, it's kind of a nice deal, you know. And it's just, and like I said, I mean, it's like the body feeds the mind a little bit, you know. And so it's good to like to be outside and being constructive.
I've had a couple of periods of time here and there where, like, not years, but like months, where I didn't have to work, you know, where my wife would support me and like I would have the opportunity to do whatever and like not work and try and figure other stuff out. And those were not great times for me. You know, I would think that like not having things to do would be better, but I need something to do. Like, I need to get out of the house. Like today, actually, I was supposed to be at home, but I had to go to the office and be there. And like, there's something about like I bike to work and just like going to the bike to work and then like being there and coming, like there's something about it that's more rewarding than like not doing for me. And so I could see how it's like, it helps to do things, and like moving your body is like, it's a pretty good idea.
I agree 100%. I mean, it's not like a new thought, really, like, not to get biblical, but it's like, I don't hinder the work of the devil, you know, and it's work begets work, you know. And if, especially if you have, you know, if you procrastinate or you have ADHD, you know, when you have idle time, then you can put things off. And, but I find that when I'm productive, I'm even more productive.
That's right. Yeah. Getting stuff done leads to like more, like somehow when your calendar is more full, you get more other things done. And then when it's empty, like stuff, nothing gets done. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think what it's kind of like, you just get on step.
Yes. And then you might say in flow, you might say flow as well, but like on step is a really good analogy. I like that, because it's like hard to get on to step, but once you're up there, then you're floating and then things just work. I like that.
100%.
Yeah. Huh. I was an AV for a while, like installing AV equipment, and I had to go to the slope a couple times for like a couple days here or there. And I'm definitely not a sloper, like, although everyone up there is super nice and friendly, I just like not my style. But I ran into a guy one time, and he'd been there since it opened in like 77 or something, and he was still working. And he was telling me that, like, he told me that his friends quit and they die a year later. And like
I don't know.
he was just going to keep working because he's like, because they stop and then they die. And that landed with me.
Well, I completely identify with that. I mean, I've seen that kind of stuff happen. And like the greatest example is my grandpa. He worked till he died, and that wasn't until he was 91. And a lot of people thought that he was going to die in his 50s. But I really think that like him waking up every day and having something to do and a purpose made all the difference in the world. Kept him going. And I know, and you hear about that. People retire and they just croak out. It's like, oh, isn't this nice? I don't have to do anything anymore. It's like, well, doing things are kind of what makes the world makes you keep going.
That's right. That's right. You got to do things. You got to do things. And even though, like, I don't really care for my job, like, I still appreciate what it provides. I mean, in addition to like money, houses, and healthcare, like, the going to work is, I don't know, it's just getting out in the world is useful. So,
Yeah, well, and I think that, like, to put a finer point on that,
yeah.
I think that it's easy, like, in modern society to try to steer away from adversity because it can be uncomfortable. And you're like, I don't want to deal with adversity. Like, why should I have to deal with that? But it's like, ultimately, it's good for you, I think. Now, there's some situations, obviously, where it's like, well, when do you, when do you cut the strings here and try to do something else? But I do think some level of adversity is helpful to us because we've been, as humans, it seems like we've been dealing with that forever. Like we're kind of wired to have to deal with that.
I think the topic is comfort with discomfort. Like how
Right.
comfortable are you with discomfort?
Right.
And I think we all have different levels of that, for sure. Something else that it kind of relates to, like, I guess we're kind of winding down a little bit, but something that I'm interested in is like one's feeling of success. And for like many years, like we moved to Anchorage in 2014, and one of the things I was like, I didn't feel successful. And I was like trying to make a video about it or a movie about it. And I was just like, I've never been successful at work. And it just really kind of tore me up a little bit. And I feel a little more success now or a little less angsty about it. And I'm wondering how you feel about success or if you think you're successful and whatever that might mean to you.
Well, I think that that can be tricky because of like how society views success. But I feel good about my work in terms of even doing my regular like kind of square job work. I feel like I've been validated in that. But in the music stuff, I feel like I've done well for myself. You always feel like you can do more, but it's like you hear people that are really at the top echelon of whatever their industry is, and they say the same thing. And so, yeah, I think that never really
Yeah,
ends. And
that's
so
right.
you have to
You're
like
still the
find.
same person when you get there, no matter how successful or how qualified or
Yeah.
how well you do something, you're still the same person, I think.
Well, you look back at things and think, oh, I could have done this better, or could have done that
Yeah.
better, but I don't know. So I'm trying really hard not to get too caught up in that and just keep working. I mean, I've had like good milestones for sure. And so like if I ever get too down on myself, I just look at that and then also just tell myself to buck up a little bit,
Yeah. It does relate to like society and comparing oneself, right? Like there's societal values that you have around you, like TV or wherever, social media or whoever, people in town driving like nice cars. And then there's like, yeah, you have to decide for yourself what success is, I guess.
That is 100% true. You have to define that for yourself. And if you're not doing that, then you can really get lost in kind of a sea, of societal and familial pressure. I mean, specifically for music, it's funny because like if you tell your parents that you want to be a musician or anybody, they'll like for a living, they'll kind of laugh at you. But the truth is, like, there's Beyonce, or Bob Dylan or whatever. But then there's like 100 steps of strata between that and like playing on the street. And, if you just want to make a living doing it, there's plenty of ways to carve out a niche, and so I don't know. I don't worry about that too much anymore. I mean, I keep trying. I mean, I do sometimes, but I try not to. I figure people are still calling, I'm still getting gigs, so I must be doing something right.
And you had a period when you were full on, and you've experienced the full on, like in Nashville lifestyle, like you've been there and you've seen what that experience is, and that maybe helps keep you happy now, as knowing that you've gone out there and you did try that and you did have the opportunity.
No, for sure. And I think that, like, and I try to think more like intrinsically, like, am I still making good something, like a good product, and you know how it is, like, we're always our own worst critic. And
That's
so
right.
if you can make yourself happy, then that's really what you're trying to do. I don't write songs from the beginning for other people. I write them for myself, because I want to try to make something that's interesting that I will say, well, this is pretty good. And then I hope other people like it. And so if I can satisfy myself, then I think that that is, there's a lot of value in that. And of course, the other thing is, like, when you start having kids and you're married and you have all these other things, like, ideally you start to try to, like, walk away a little bit from, like, what is just good for you. I mean, at this point it's like, I'm trying to raise successful children, and good, that. And so it's like, am I doing that? And if I'm doing that, I get a lot of value from that. And so it becomes a lot less about you. But that stuff still always creeps in a little bit.
Right on. Well, thank you, Todd. And I do want to say, when I met you at there was a house party where you were playing that music, it was like it was a special thing, like the music that you provided and the show that you shared at that night. And I just want to say that it definitely impacted me, and I thought it was something special to experience. And I really appreciate like having that. Like, I don't get to see a lot of live music. I mean, I could go out more, but I don't. But anyhow, like having like live music, I don't know, it was a real special treat. And the mood and the vibe and all of it was really nice. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I felt it, and I think a lot of us did.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and that's one of the things that got me into it. I was seeing people, contemporaries, play like that, and then just wanting to be involved in that. And I do think there's something nice about, especially with acoustic instruments and people playing together. I mean, it is, I think that that's really like an integral part of, like, who we are as people, like, to be able to get together and play, and then for people to, hopefully they appreciate it, and it's like, I don't know. I
I
just one
think
thing I've always
particular,
thought of.
I think like in these times, I guess you could always say in these times, but in this like AI technology amped up times, or like all the news or all the stuff going on, like the connection to soulful, direct acoustic music is super contributive to society. And I think there's a lot to be said for it, and it's super valuable.
Well, I hope so. And my wife would give you an earful about how much it, and so, we just keep doing that. And we enjoy doing it. I think, it's just like all art. If it can take you away for a little bit from some of the stresses of life, then you've done your job, and so it's nice to be able to go into a room like that with a bunch of people. And I mean, talking about validation, like, that's enough validation, like, people were enjoying it, and it's like, okay, well, we're doing something good.
For sure. Right on, Todd. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate talking with you. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I hope that there was some good insight in there and that it was constructive.
Most assuredly. That's it for today's conversation. Thanks again to Todd for being here, and thank you so much for listening. This has been On Work with Joel G. I'm Joel G. Music credit, Life is Good by Beat Mechanic from the Free Music Archive used under Creative Commons license. Additional emotional support from Indoor Heating. It would be real cold without you. That's all for this episode. Be present, keep going, look up, and take care.